Thank you, Jeff. Good afternoon. About 5 years ago, two conservation districts in eastern Washington purchased a used stripper header for us, and we mounted it on a field-sized combine, a John Deere 7722, and put it on top of our long-term no-till study that's being conducted in Ralston, Washington. And it's a several-faceted project, and today I'm going to visit with you on some of the microclimate alterations that have occurred with the stripper header and its tall standing stubble. And it is part of Lauren's master's thesis. She was going to present it today, but she fulfilled every advisor's dream, and she has a full-time job with the Washington State Crop Improvement Association, and she's being introduced to the board of directors as we speak. So yours truly offered to give the presentation today on her research. Well, the study site, as I mentioned, is in Ralston, Washington, a little less than 30 centimeter annual rainfall area, with about 65-70% of it occurring in the winter months, November to March. Winter wheat, summer fallow is the typical rotation. It's been going on for over 130 years in the region now. And as I mentioned, it's being superimposed over the top of the study site at Ralston. This region is characterized by severe infestations of winter annual grass weeds such as downy brome, giant goat grass, Italian ryegrass, feral rye, the winter wheat diseases, and we have very, very serious wind erosion during the summer, much of it attributed to the tillage fallow that is conducted by the growers in the region. This is an actual event that occurred in August of 2014 in this region. There's a lot of justifications for the research that we're doing. I think the utmost or most important one is that there's been several of us in the region that have looked at long-term no-till spring crops annually to reduce the number of acreage that is in fallow. But unfortunately, 99% of the systems that have been examined are not economically feasible to the growers. So we're basically back to square one, and that is how can we manage residue during the summer fallow year to cut down on erosion and diversify our crops. There is one other concurrent approach to this, and they're looking at an undercutter, and then they've modified or built a huge mammoth drill with wide row spacings to get through the clods that's left by the undercutter. And they're leaving approximately 30% residue on the soil surface. I know the stripper header is much more prevalent in the Midwest, Great Plains area. It is a little known technology in the Pacific Northwest. And I think it's because, as we've found out with our research, farmers have very quizzically looked at us with a questioning smile that, why are you wanting to build residue when we've spent 100 years trying to get rid of it? Anyway, there had only been one research project done in the Northwest, and that was a couple decades ago, where they compared harvest efficiency of the stripper header to the traditional cutter bar header. As I mentioned, we also want to increase the residue, diversify crops over time. Winter canola is an up-and-coming alternative crop, and we've been able to institute it into the wheat fallow rotation quite nicely. But most of it has been done in non-no-till situations. And so we want to be able to establish the winter canola in the stripper header. Very simply, the stripper header has rows mounted on a long drum that, with rotating fingers, that strip the kernels directly off the plant. It leaves the rachis, the intact plant, and chaff in the field. The only thing, and we can increase our harvest speed minimum of twice as fast as a conventional combine because we're not putting all that straw through the innards of the combine and it having to separate the kernels from all that residue. So we're going 7 to 9 miles an hour. Our research questions, at least on this part of the project, is twofold. We wanted to begin to look at the impacts of different varieties other than semi-dwarf wheat and the harvest method on crop residues, soil temperature, moisture, and wind speed as microclimates. And then, is it possible to seed winter canola directly into this standing stripper header stubble? And basically, I'll get into this a little later, but have we changed the microclimate enough so that we can plant winter canola when we want to rather than when Mother Nature tells us that we have to do it? Our treatments are threefold. Instead of the semi-dwarf wheat, we're growing fall triticale, which is quite tall. And then we're growing a hard red winter wheat, a variety called Farnham. That is in itself very tall as well. Then with each one of the cereals, we're using the traditional cutter bar or the stripper header to harvest it. And then we have different residue management systems built on these treatments. So first of all, let's take a look and see if we've been able to increase residue. To your right, or to your left, is the 6 years of orange bars residue production that occurred very early in the project, the Ralston project. Our residue ranged from 5,000 to about 7,000 kilograms per hectare. In 2012, we planted and harvested the taller wheat in blue and the taller triticale in the green. And we produced well over 9,000 kilograms per hectare. In 2013, the wheat didn't do quite as good, but the winter triticale was still approaching 9,000 kilograms per hectare. So we are increasing our residue in these systems. To give you a visual representation of the two harvest methods, the stripper header on your left is anywhere from 90 to 100 centimeters tall, and using the in the same crop using the cutter bar is the I get mixed up on port and starboard on your right is the cutter bar knee high, which is 30 to 40 centimeters tall. Looking at the daily average soil temperature, this is a chart. The cutter bar triticale is the blue line, and stripper header triticale is the orangish line. Two things are kind of obvious. One is you can certainly tell our increase in temperature as the summer progresses, going from below 10 centimeters in the 1st of May to over 25 centimeters by the end of July. And from early July to mid-July, we're beginning to get that separation between the stripper header temperature and the cutter bar temperature, and that did continue into the August planting season. In conjunction with that, we looked at the wind speed. This is a 9-day event between July 12th and July 21st in 2014. The yellow line is the stripper header stubble, and the green line is the tilled fallow. The anemometers were set 16 centimeters above the soil surface, and basically the maximum speed was reduced 2.5 times with the stripper header, and our average was reduced, wind speed was reduced 4 times with the stripper header compared to what is going over the traditional fallow. Well, in 2014, we have fallow soil moisture at 0 to 7 centimeters, which basically encompasses the seed zone planting depth, and then 7 to 15 centimeters The cutter bar tillage fallow is the blue line, and stripper header chem fallow is the gray line. And for the most part, at both depths, the soil moisture was higher in the stripper header than it was in the tilled fallow. As far as soil moisture concerned in 2015, at the cutter bar, or at the 0 to 7 centimeters, again, we have cutter bar tilled fallow and stripper header chem fallow. Unfortunately, this is in barley, spring barley. We had lost our winter canola crop, so we came back with spring barley. We're beginning to see our climate change where, boy, we've been having year after year after year of absolutely no rain for our wheat fallow region in the PNW. We did get a early September rain event. Both moistures are pretty similar. However, the distribution within that 0 to 7 inches was quite different. We had the moisture lines meet in the chem fallow, whereas they did not meet in the tillage fallow where we had established the dust mulch. The rain did not meet, rain from the moisture from the rain did not meet the moisture we were storing in the fallow. Well, very quickly, let's look at what we're looking at with winter canola and trying to introduce that into the region. We've been doing about 5 years worth of research trying to figure out when we should plant winter canola. And we found out that August is the best time, from the 1st to the 31st. But there's a tremendous caveat, and that is that for the week after planting, we need about 29 degrees centigrade or less ambient temperature for the simple reason that if the young seedlings are going through 2 inches of temperature that can get up to 120, 130 degrees Fahrenheit, boy, they're cooked and no chance to emerge and survive. So, like I said, we're at the mercy of Mother Nature saying you're going to plant now because we're forecasting cooler temperatures for the next week. It does work, but Mother Nature doesn't always cooperate, as the forecasters know. We use two different planting systems. We have a no-till Ag Pro drill, and then we have a modified deep furrow drill that we use in the traditional fallow. As with the Air Force, every time they make a modification to their airplanes, they add another letter from the alphabet. We are currently on modification H in our 60-year-old drill, and our brand new drill, we're already on modification D. So we're continuing to change things as we go. Okay, last question. Can we plant winter canola into 100 centimeter tall stripper header stubble? The tractor coming towards you to your left has already been planted. And in front of the tractor and to the right is to be planted plots yet. So we have coulters in front of the openers, and we've been very pleased with establishing our canola. As seen in the right-hand picture here, this is the winter wheat in our chem fallow stripper header. And to your left is the tilled establishment in the or winter canola establishment in the tilled fallow. And again, it has to do with the uniformity of the moisture in the tilled fallow versus the nice uniform moisture in the chem fallow. Looking at 3 years of establishment, as mentioned, the 2013, we had pretty good, we had 90% establishment. In the tilled fallow, we had 45% establishment. 2014, boy, it was a wicked year. Nothing at all came up in the tilled fallow, and we had about a 30-35% establishment in the stripper header triticale plots. This year, again, not super because of the dry weather that we've had. About a 30% establishment in the tilled fallow, and a little over 50% in the stripper header triticale. All of this is predicated on the moisture that we received prior to, during planting, and after planting. In the 2012-2013 season, you can see June, July, and August, in the brown coloration. We had good moisture to plant into that year. In the 2013-2014 season, June, July, and August depicted in the yellow, not much at all. In fact, it was questionable as if we should plant. One thing we did notice that we planted deeper into the tilled fallow than we did in the no-till stripper header. We got the 30% emergence in the stripper header and nothing in the other. We also looked at soil temperature in those two regimes and found that in the seed zone where the seed was lying was 14 degrees Fahrenheit cooler in the stripper header planted zone than in the other. This year, again, no rain in June, none in July, basically none in August. We planted later than we like to. We planted after Labor Day when we got 1.6 centimeters of precipitation. All in all, it looks pretty good using the stripper header. Since we've started research, we have had 8 growers that have purchased stripper headers, and they're quite pleased so far. And there is one disadvantage to the stripper header, and that is the farmers have told us that because of the speed that they go, they got to buy more grain trucks to keep up with the combines. So with that, thank you very much. And if there's time for questions, I can.